Vesuvius, which again and again destroys itself, as Goethe says, and declares war on any sense of beauty. Straniero, Neapolitans call everyone not from Naples. Visitors from Milan and London alike are, with a dark, quick glance or friendly smile, picked out as stranieri. Naples was the last Italian city to develop a middle class, mostly after the Second World War, and its residents know themselves by instinct to be different from other European citizenries. More ancient, less well-off, more skeptical, less clean, but wiser, grander. Two falsifying myths have coexisted. On the one hand, Naples is held to be all superstition, ardor, and mirth. On the other, all cunning, malignity, and deceit. Though distinguished travelers seem to have acquiesced in one stereotype or the other, I do not recognize the city I love in either of these caricatures. Goethe called Naples this school of light-hearted and happy life. Leopardi, who did his long dying here, called it una topaia, a rat's nest. But Naples the glorious and Naples the ghastly have always been one place. The English travel writer Norman Lewis, who served with British intelligence in occupied Naples, and whose diary of those months, Naples 44, is a peerless document of the Allied campaign, tells of the harrowing days after the departure of the occupying German force. Before fleeing, they had mined a number of the seafront buildings with delayed action explosives. The detonations, along with widespread malnutrition and the renewed German air raids, had combined to produce the worst death tolls of any Italian city in the war. Here was Naples, at one of the most tragic hours of its vast history. Apocalyptic scenes, Lewis recorded in his diary, as people clawed about in the ruins, some of them howling like dogs in the hopeless attempt to rescue those trapped under the masonry. In Pizzo Falcone, a team of road sweepers were working by lamplight, clearing up what looked like a lake of spilled stew where a crowded shelter had received a direct hit. A captured enemy agent claimed convincingly that thousands of delayed action mines would be detonated when the city's power supply was restored. 1.5 million people were evacuated, all of the lower town. The starving, the injured and sick, the elderly, the newborn, the insane, the about to give birth, were herded to the heights of the Vomero, Fontanelle, and the observatory. Lewis tells of men carrying their parents on their backs, of panic-stricken women and children leaving trails of urine behind them. At the Vomero, he writes, we took up positions at a spot on the heights where the road had been intentionally widened to assist visitors to appreciate the view, which was splendid indeed. All Naples lay spread out beneath us like an antique map, on which the artist had drawn with almost exaggerated care the many gardens, the castles, the towers, and the cupolas. For the first time, awaiting the cataclysm, I appreciated the magnificence of this city, seen at a distance which cleansed it of its wartime tegument of grime, and for the first time I realized how un-European, how oriental it was. Nothing moved but a distant floating confetti of doves. The enemy agent turned out to have been lying. Electricity was restored without incident. Neapolitans went back to their desperate wartime lives. The wonder of the place is that it has not been annihilated by so much history. Ask yourself what New York or Chicago or Los Angeles will be 25 centuries from now. Imagination falters. In the course of the terrible 17th century alone, Naples suffered a volcanic eruption that would well have buried everyone had the cloud of ash settled differently, a plague that did claim one-third of its inhabitants, and an earthquake that reduced much of the city to rubble. These were but the enormities of nature. Those of man accomplished their considerable work as well. Naples, it has been said, did not perish like Troy or Nineveh or Pompeii. It is, instead, a Pompeii that escaped burial, a living Pompeii. Therefore, it is well when you walk its streets and vicoli, chaotic with life, to save a thought for Pompeii, as when you stroll the